don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
This is Dave's Video Graveyard. Halloween Shitemare Month.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I'm your number one fan.
I like to dissect girls. Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm scared to close my eyes. I'm scared to open them.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
There's no more room in hell. The dead will walk here.
Sometimes, that is better.
This is Dave's Video Graveyard. Halloween Shitemare Month.
This is Dave's Video Graveyard for another week, and we are travelling back to a very dark time in horror history. It is Shitemare Month. Casey, Paulie, how you guys going?
Yeah, good.
I'll be better in about 35 minutes at the end of this episode.
You know when you're in a family and your cousins have other cousins that aren't related to you, and it's the fucking weirdest thing when you find out that your cousins have this whole other family that, like, you don't know about? Have you ever experienced that?
No.
We're not from Broken Hill. We don't
have
I was like,
what kind of shit is this?
Do you know what one of my friends commented? Obviously, I recently acquired a new custom-made Ninja Turtle shirt. Do you know what the comment was that was fantastically text message from my best mate? Save some cousins for the rest of us. It's like, how fucking dare you?
Tie your body together quite well.
Yeah. I hope I don't grow into it because it's like pretty big.
It's like Doritos yellow.
We are in Shitemare Month. Casey, where's your fucking absentee note for last week? How very dare you not show up?
I'm pretty happy to have not been a part of that photo that you put up of you and Paul.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you
no apologies. Messages, so.
If you were here, you clearly could have been Elvira's boobs, like just your face on both boobs. I think we've already done that.
You can get a salt and pepper shaker set, and the salt and pepper are the two tits.
How good is that? I see it occasionally, but haven't pulled the trigger yet. So what I was saying is, this movie that we were talking about this week is like an unknown cousin of the Troma films to me.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest issue I have before we even get to what the movie is, I saw all the Troma movies and loved them for their campy, over-the-top, gory, just disgusting mess. These movies are skeevy is the best way to describe them. We are talking about 1982's Basket Case.
What is the secret Dwayne is hiding in the basket?
What's in the basket? Easter eggs?
What's in the basket?
Clothes.
What's in the basket?
Nothing.
What's in the basket?
I found it.
What's in the basket?
Open it, if you dare. Basket Case.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a masterpiece. And
you
even
know what?
At the start, it says that it's like a... It's now in the archives of the
museum. I saw that. I was like, what the hell can they put in that? There's anything gets in there.
Just too loud.
Nicolas Cage is going to be stealing.
when I was
like
watching...
ship protectors.
I realized this time around because I grew up loving all the Troma and all the... The thing is, I saw all these other campy horror movies that had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Before I saw like these, which are obviously the architects of horror films, so all these splatter films and their exploitation horror films of New York City and stuff, I didn't see them till after I saw all the movies that I consider fun, like your Evil Dead trilogy, yep. like all those movies, Dead Alive, Bad Taste, all Bad the Peter Taste. Jackson's work yep. that kind of came from yeah. this. This is going back, much like when I went and saw Reservoir Dogs after I'd seen everything that had stolen yeah. from it.
This is the origin.
This movie yeah. made me realize, do you know what I really don't like? And I realized from watching the trailer for this, I hate horror movies that have that late 70s, early 80s voiceover.
Yep.
It's not the, in a world, it's not that voice. It's a, you shouldn't leave the house. Yep. No, it is in a basket.
And it'll be like some weird sort of like, you have met the infiltrator.
It truly was a land of the dead. You know those? You know that guy that does that fucking voiceover in
They're
all...
They're like the Vincent Price-esque yes, kind yes. of thing. Yeah.
I love Vincent have, Price to do this, but...
It's always like, have you checked the children?
Yeah,
call
yeah.
soon. It'll kill
when
you.
When a stranger calls.
It's 10 yeah. o'clock. Do you know where your children are? I told you last night. No!
I watched... if you get a chance, watch the trailer, and it's like one of those teaser trailers for Leatherface 3, like not for Texas Chainsaw 3. He's on the side of a lake, and it's got this like nice music, and it's looking like he's like thinking about stuff. He's just saying, and then suddenly like this hand comes out the lake with a chainsaw, and he's like, "Oh, that's what I am," and he grabs it. But it's just it's the weirdest thing. Like it's like. Lulling you into this full sense of like, oh, Leather Chase might have changed.
Up on so
this,
free
is his, this is his lake house. So yeah, get a chance, Leatherface 3, check it out. But Basket Case is what we'll talk about today.
So he roast me for like watching Basket Case, but you're watching Leatherface 3. I believe you just watched like all 12 Friday the 13th movies.
No, I watched, I've been watching The Nightmare on Elm Street. Number 2 is fucking weird.
How is that not as weird as
Now, did yes, you misread? Because in a few weeks' time, we're doing Deep Blue Sea. Did you misread the schedule? Because you said you've been watching Ocean's films. What is wrong with you?
I did. Oh, I love those films.
Have you seen
12 is still good.
No. So Basket Case, 1982, very famous from Frank Henenlotter, who's responsible for a lot of splatter horror films, and a film that surely you love, Casey, that is Frankenhooker.
I haven't seen it.
Really? It is the most Casey... I've only ever seen the trailer.
Frankenhooker.
But is it the most Casey film I've ever seen in a trailer?
I need to
Outside of Freaked from Alex Winters. Like, honestly, it's just... Oh, man, this movie, it was a... My home life, as many people know, I live around my children, so watching movies like this, I have to wait for them to go to bed. And much like I've always said with the trauma films... The screams and the gore
is so
fucking off and so
balanced.
Loud that even watching it, I'm constantly riding the remote, not just because I sit on it and I enjoy it. I'm constantly riding the remote to turn it down when the screaming happens. Because it is one of those movies where sound design everything seems like an afterthought in this film because famously it was made for $35,000, which is also used as a prop in the movie when he's carrying the cash. That is the budget of the film. Where they could cut costs, they did. And I think my biggest issue in not my biggest issue in not enjoying this film is all the porn acting. None of the porn. So I'm just like, oh, I know where this is going.
And then like that lady that just drops her underpants and just leaves them on the floor like a dirty bitch. I'm like, oh, man.
Now, did you pick this movie because it had a lady of the night named Casey
named
in it?
Casey, yes.
Outside of our good hockey playing Ninja Turtle mate, Casey Jones, I think this is my favorite Casey in a movie. Or other than Affleck. Oh, no, he's cancelled.
No.
And I hate him anyway.
I was named after a character from a film. There was like this sort of like TV midday movie in the 80s called A Summer to Remember, where these two kids found this chimpanzee who'd escaped from something or whatever, and it could do sign language, and its name was Casey.
Yes.
And my parents named me after that.
Now that you've showed me the working out on paper, I do see it.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so that's where I got my name from.
Like, it's all right. If it doesn't work out, we'll just leave her in the forest.
We can stop shaving her and everything.
Well, if you were born 10 to 15 years later, you'd be Amy, the hand-signing ape from Congo.
Yeah.
Future episode, motherfuckers.
I will dispute that.
Okay, so right. Basket Case.
I think Basket Case is amazing. I think it came from a time, like you were saying with the trauma films, where it's B-grade horror movies were its own thing, where it was sort of like not intentional to make it bad, but they didn't go out of their way to make it good either. And it became this whole thing. And I sort of looked up what else was out at the time. And like you said, The Evil Dead. John Waters' Polyester also came out at that time, which is where he went from like super weird cult things to sort of more mainstream.
Mm.
And then a lot of those Elvira Midnight movies were sort of out. So like there's a great little patch of just like bizarro horror shit from that time that I love. And this just gives me that feeling so much. I just...
Did this get on the banned list?
I reckon this was one of the video nasties.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was reading into it. Apparently, they made this film and the distributor watched it and was like, oh, this gore's too much. So, took all the kills and the gore out and just released it as this weird dry comedy because of the acting. As if, almost like, you know the way now Tommy Wiseau leans into saying that The Room was meant to be that shit and it was a comedy. Yeah. That's what the distributor tried to do and everyone hated it. So they've then re-released it as an uncut version with all the gore back in, and all of a sudden it was like, this is amazing. But I was cranking my neck the whole fucking movie because every time they'd go past a side street or something, I was trying to see if they were filming Taxi Driver the next street over, because just there's something so authentic about dirty New York movies.
Yeah.
This is pre-Giuliani New York. It's just like this. It's still got a grind.
Now, I have been doing a thing of our last few episodes, watching it on VHS, just to take it in and see what trailers were on the VHS. Yeah. I've got to give full disclosure. I watched the trailers of this and the movie started. I had to stop the VHS and download it on Blu-ray legally because the lighting on the VHS, it was before it had been done up or anything. Oh. So it looked like the whole thing had been lit with a desk clamp. Like I'm talking, it almost had like a vignette
edge
of black. Yeah. You couldn't tell anything. And it's not because the tape was worn out. That's just how movies... That's how I originally saw the first Halloween movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Was a bad VHS transfer where it was so dark that half the time when Jason's in the back... Michael's in the background. Paul just left. Whenever Michael's in the background, you can't even fucking tell that he's in the background in the version I saw. So I'll tell you the VHS trailers that we got, and it was a mixed bag. So the first one was a movie called Rolling Thunder. Now, what do you think that movie would be called? Would be about with That's what I thought, or helicopters? Yeah. I thought. No, it's a returned Vietnam veteran with post-traumatic stress that has his family murdered while he's over there. So he comes back.
Who's in it?
The dude that gets drowned in Hollow Man is the main character. Yes. And Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, so it's
back because it was made in like obviously 76 or whatever. So Tommy Lee Jones was only 40 in it. It's really weird. But it looks fucking like the trailer starts off like, he came back from Vietnam and he's getting off he's getting off the plane and everyone's celebrating. And the trailer just got darker and darker and it made me think of that Too Many Cooks thing that you love. Because it was honestly like, then his family were killed. And he's
then
like,
he went mad.
But I did like look up the trailer if you get a chance on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look up the YouTube trailer if you get a chance, just because it gets darker and darker. But it also almost was before they knew how to release trailers. So it was like, he had been to a land of darkness. And he's like, I just got back from a land of darkness. he was struggling to fit back in. I just don't know if I'm fitting back in. And oh, man. So Rolling Thunder was the first trailer. The second one was a movie called Jaguar Lives. And it's essentially, Chuck Norris must have been sick when this made, because he's a ninja, but he's a spy. It's a white guy ninja movie.
Yeah.
But he's hanging on top of a car. It's shot in like somewhere in Europe or something. Yeah. So it looks like a James Bond movie, but it also looks like garbage. And I think there's probably full on sex scenes in it as well. It's just one of those trash.
You like James Bond, but have really low expectations.
Like
Jaguar Lives.
Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
That kind of movie. That's what it was. And the final one was what's perhaps the worst movie trailer I've ever seen. It's a movie called Hysterical. And it is a bunch of homeless people, but they're in all these parody scenes of Indiana Jones, Dracula. What? Like it looked like almost like a loaded weapon type movie.
Yeah.
but done in the '70s and parroting all these movies, which there's no way they would have got clearance for all these things. So if you get a chance, look up the trailer.
Yeah, I would have.
At which point it said the feature presentation screen on the VHS, because that's how fucking old this movie is. And then I turned it off and watched it downloaded. So that's the trailers.
Wow. Hysterical is on my list.
Dude, what the fuck, man? That movie looks garbage. Speaking of garbage movies, Basket Case.
I watched this I watched this on Tubi.
Same. It's
the first one I've ever watched on Tubi. And I thought it was like they put ads on. But what they do is they just replay entire bits of the movie like twice. Does that happen with yours?
No, I get ads.
I didn't get ads. I got...
Are the ads for Jerk Mate?
Yeah.
What's Jerk Mate?
It's just on the start of every free porn site now.
What's the...
Add me on my hot book or...
Yeah.
Like, okay,
all those.
I'm home alone and I'm
with,
ready.
With mine, it didn't do ads. It basically, you'd watch like about 5 minutes and then it'd go back and like replay 30 seconds of that footage over again and then go sort of...
No, that's just how they do the exposition in this movie.
Well, that was a choice. Yeah.
Do you know what? I watched the second and the third one. The second one starts with like a lot of footage from this first one.
Salt Night, Deadly Night style, yeah.
And then the third one is like literally about probably 15 or 20 minutes of the second one just tacked on to start.
Yeah.
I was like, how lazy is this?
See, what they were
Halloween
doing...
Halloween 4 did that, didn't it?
Nah. No, I think Halloween wasn't one... Friday the 13th did it quite
well. Oh, yeah, everyone.
What I've noticed is that you'll have like the original one in the 80s, then the late 80s they'll do that, they'll cut half the first movie in with the second one, and then the third one, it will be a movie that had nothing to do with it but needs production value, so they'll add on, like, there's a Hills Have Eyes 3, but it's got nothing to do with Hills Have Eyes, it's just that they needed to have like a bump up to like get it into cinemas and sort onto release and stuff like that, so it's like, it's called the Hills Have Eyes 3. Something darkness, but it's like it's got nothing to do with it. It's really weird how like these horror movies play out. I think even like some of the like even Tremors got that way a little bit. I think it's just like, and then the Chuds and the Ghoulies and lots of stuff. It's like by the end of it, it's just like
I was watching this, and this is going to be a deep cut for Aussie pub rock fans. Mm. I cannot handle
it's
the
very small part of the DPG audience.
That's a
there.
Huge part of our audience. The fucking main actor playing Dwayne, or Dwayne, however you say it, looks so much like the fucking singer of Ice House.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him to break into Great Southern Land at any time.
He's got the Riggs hair.
He looks really, really similar to me, to the kid that played Greg Brady in the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the movie version.
Yeah, the movie version.
His hairstyle is actually way too advanced for this movie. Like, this is like, that's like a late 80s haircut like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sense of these notes that I've got.
All right, yeah. Well, let's just go through it. Firstly, why do they have a metal latch and a padlock on a cane basket that thing could clearly just reach through?
I enjoyed that, and it instantly made me think of the classic Hot Shots 2, when Ryan Stiles, as a demolition expert, comes up to a picket fence, and it's got a padlock on it, so he can't get through. So it's a knee-high picket fence.
Is a part where, as well, there's bars in the prison, and he gets
fits through,
through
to get
the
key. Yes. We are doing that movie one day, Paulie.
Okay. I did enjoy the part that there's a, like the sexy sax Lethal Weapon music.
Yes, I've got
going
that
on
saxophone,
the, start,
the call girl, yeah.
And then the call girl's like, someone was playing saxophone at 4 a.m. I thought it was meant to be like the soundtrack, but it's actually someone playing
that. The first 2 minutes of this movie I liked. Like, it was like, that was a slasher movie. And I was like, yeah, cool. And I'm like, no, no, I don't want Belial.
Oh, poor Belial.
You don't see Belial until what, like halfway through?
Yeah, until ages.
Which is good. I like that they sort of can hold back. Like, that's what movies these days. You would see Belial at some point in the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yes.
To say.
And even the trailer, not once does it show what's in the basket, because that was the marketing.
Yeah. It was like,
because the answer is like a very poor, malnourished Krang from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he looks like Krang, but like when E.T.'s dying at the end of the movie and he turns white.
When he's unconscious in the river.
Yeah.
Have a drink, everyone, because you bring that up like nearly every episode. Because the raccoons one. The raccoons are like biting at him. He's down in the river.
What?
There's a bit in E.T. where like they find him and he's in a river and raccoons are around it and starting to like bite at him. He's like... Ey!
Man, really? E.T.'s a fucking ride.
Yeah. did you hear he made up names in the end credits?
No.
So all those end credits are just people they made up the name of, because like by the time they got to like, because some people did the same job. Like he was just like, so a bunch of most of those credits in the, at the end are just made up people that they put in there, because he just had like he did most of it. It's been a couple of weeks since I've watched this, so I'm gonna just throw out some of my notes and you see if it makes any sense. <All right.
laughs> It's Mr. Squiggle, but Paul has notes.
All right, Amy Adams' girlfriend, because she kind of looked like a weird version of Amy Adams. I said Steve Buscemi doctor.
Dr. Needleman and then Dr. Cutter or whatever. Like, what?
But, creative. So, sorry, little tangent. Hubie Halloween. Steve Buscemi in that movie.
So good.
I loved how shit that movie was. It was great.
How was it? Did you watch it too?
I watched it last night, yeah.
That the deep cut at the start?
There's a lot of deep cuts that I'm sure a lot of people missed that I sadly didn't miss.
No, yeah. My wife was like, she was putting out stuff too. I'm like, I didn't know you were like, you know, Happy Madison.
The lady that throws the colouring in competition stuff away?
Yeah.
Is the if peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles Davis lady. Yeah. There is so many deep Happy Madison cuts.
And I'm like, this might be obvious, and I'm not making a revelation here, but like, is he basically making a mockery of his own persona Waterboy? With Hooby Dooby?
That's what I honestly
because his middle name's like Ruby, so he's like
Ruby,
Hooby
yeah.
Ruby Dooby, and I was like, that is either fucking sad or fucking genius. And I'm like,
There is a scene because obviously we covered it when we did Airheads, where he's pretending to be an animatronic. And he full on walk from Airheads. He does the like.
Ooh, he basically is doing his greatest hits.
Why did we do an episode on Huey Halloween instead of this movie?
I was thinking, like, when I was watching it, this is like, it's not a Rolling Stones Get Back Together. It's like, it's more like a Pearl Jam paying deep cuts tour. Like, it's like we're not just playing like Alive and Even Flow. We're doing stuff that, like, you know, track 11 and 12 on our second album sort of stuff. Like, this is. Deep
and of
cut.
Course, it's the first reuniting of Claire from Modern Family, who's in Happy Gilmore.
She was the worst thing about that.
How come
picture.
She has not aged basically since Happy Gilmore? But Ray Liotta looks like he's about 60 years old.
I
older.
Was quite upset at the age of Ray Liotta in that film. And also,
more outtakes of Ray Liotta, by the way.
I know. Every time he said fuck, too. How funny. I really enjoyed the Harley Quinn joke.
Yeah, everyone that was great. They were all dressed up.
I was pissing myself. That was a delightful movie.
You know what, everyone? Go and watch Huey Halloween. We have officially endorsed that movie. It's a good combination of all three of our personalities because it is straight up shit for you. It is pathetic callbacks for me.
Yep.
And it is whatever Paul likes.
And it's a bit wholesome. It's wholesome and it's got a lot of like,
I watched it with the kids and I thought that maybe I shouldn't.
And if you think you're not going to laugh at people throwing stuff at him on a bike the entire movie, you are wrong because like they just get more and more insane.
Where it's egg, watermelon, egg, watermelon, then a pipe wrench flies past it and I lost it. Anyway, we're talking about Basket Case. Can you imagine the horror gatekeepers if they accidentally download and listen to this episode going like, oh, they're going to talk about Basket Case.
And we're all
I love Basket Case. And we're like endorsing Adam Sandler's Hoobie Halloween. I think that's another big issue with this band. Much like, and this is going to alienate, you know, some people, I reckon. Everyone spent all these years to me wanking on punk guys, wanking on about the Saints.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's good, but you know, the Saints are one of the best Aussie punk bands ever. Yeah. So I finally checked them out. I'm like, some people have copied this and they did heaps better version of it. And that's what this movie is to me. Yeah.
No, this is the gate. This is like the Dead Boys of like punk music. It's like, oh, you gotta watch Baskets. I remember, and I won't mention it because he's been past guests on our show. I remember him like a guy like reaming me for about not liking like these old sort of splatter ones, but like, you know, liking Friday the 13th and Halloween. It's like they're just tough to watch. It's not an enjoyable thing to watch.
There's something about
does
this.
That guy start with A?
Actually, there's two.
I was going to say, because I just need to air this. A previous guest of DVG, Adam Weber, who currently has the Body short film out, go and check out his work. Here's my other issue. If he's going to watch like a direct-to-DVD horror movie and give a massive review about how much he likes it and then say that Ghostbusters sucks after watching it for the first time in 2020, Adam, I love you, but fuck you. You are so wrong.
Oh, should I change the big red light? Fuck you. Here's some more notes. steps on nail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was sideways, like.
Oh yes.
Boof. Ow! But also, did you notice they clearly showed he had bare feet.
Yeah. Oh.
Multiple times. But then as he's walking through the thing, you can hear clop, clop. Yeah. Like he's wearing high heels or something.
He's got really thick skin on his feet.
Yeah.
Like, I've got the room trashing. I do remember that. The room trashing is like the most, I think it's one of the famous scenes of that.
That was Ray Harryhausen rolling over in his grave at that moment. Because that stop frame animation, I could do better with shadow puppets.
And I made a note here about the ADR. Amazing, like, the ADR in this movie, like, I don't want to be in that session of like doing the voiceover of screams for this because like that one, they're ripping their throat out.
It's no.
There is one that goes for at least a 10, 15 seconds and I'm like, oh, I knew, and then I was like trying to mute it. I'm like, oh no, I'll be over soon.
When they like see it, one of the neighbors sees it and they just scream forever. The bit when it's hiding in the toilet, amazing.
Yes, genius. I did. I actually thought that was super effective and gross as fuck, that scene.
I just was amazing. Actually stomach turned in the operation. Like, I was like, I wasn't ready for that.
The fact that there conveniently is no organs between the join of them as dudes, because we haven't even talked about it. Essentially, you find out it's a revenge movie. Two serial killers, one played by Dwayne, and whatever he has in the basket is actually his conjoined twin brother, Belial, and they've been separated at birth, but again, well, not at birth, they were separated against their will.
Yep.
And now they're angry, and so they're hunting.
Scene back in like.
yeah.
They're hunting down the people that separated them against their will.
And he's wearing like pajamas with a hole cut for the Belial to come out.
Just, you know, thinking like, you know, 7 years' time, they were throwing Oscars at, or was it like the Total Recall, they got that effect for Guado or Watto, it, like that actually got an award, I think. And like, they were ahead of their time, this basket case.
But it's also amazing.
They should have detached it.
I want to put
like
it
half
in your
stop motion and half like you could see that they just had this weird like puppet thing. And then
when
there was parts where it was
top,
like a jack-o'-lantern because its eyes lit up.
Like, it's like, how are you moving?
The thing that cracked me up about this movie with Belial is there were so many scenes where he's attached on the side with a fully functioning mouth. But any close-up shot of Belial screaming was the version of the face that had more detail but couldn't move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, use the one that moved to move his fucking mouth.
In the later movies, it's an actual guy's face that when we zoom in on it, kind of like, you know, in The Mighty Boosh when they have Tony Harrison. Yeah. It's like that kind of editing.
Wow,
it's
that
so
sounds
funny.
Horrible.
And he falls in love with a girl version of that same thing and it's just weird.
How fucking good would this movie if instead of Belial, it was just Sooty on the side of his body? That would be fucking amazing.
The arm range, his arm range kind of differs from scene to scene.
He has some really nice hands in some of the scenes.
Yeah, that was just like, it's
sometimes they're just people hands and other times they're like gloves or something. Like, yeah.
Oh, man. I need you guys to realize that this movie's getting made on 42nd Street in New York. At the same time this movie's being made, E.T. the Extraterrestrial is being made, Rocky 3 is being made, An Officer and a Gentleman is being made. So there's your...
Yeah, four masterpieces right there.
You know what? I'll probably watch this before I watch Officer and a Gentleman again.
Do you know, there's something about these terrible movies, like Paul said, it was like really hard to get through. But like, something about that aspect of it is what I find pleasing. And I don't know what that must say about me as a person, but like, I found this movie amazing. I just loved the horrible feeling of hating it so much.
The tentpole parts of this movie are great. Like, okay, so like the vet that kind of looks like that's sort of Vanette Sigourney Weaver. I don't know why. Because she looks like a sort of a weird version of her. The scalpels in the face. Like, all that stuff, like all these things, all these parts of it are good. It's just that shit in between.
The scream that she does.
That's the long one. I'm
goes
for
about fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, and like that's, I suppose like, I ended just, I didn't fast forward to each bit, but like when it was just like the exposition and story,
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I don't give a shit. I really don't.
And you know, I think the most unforgivable thing for me is it just looks like a BBC TV movie. Like yeah, it looks like the young ones. Like a lot of the scenes look like the young ones.
Like it's on 8mm film with no lighting.
And I think for me, a lot of it goes back to when I discovered horror. I was like the cool, edgy 16-year-old kid wannabe. So it had to disgust me as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of this was like, obviously there's
when did that end?
There wasn't enough gore. Like yeah. For the way people hold this movie in esteem, I've talked to so many horror fans and this is always the one that comes up. I expected above like The Thing. Like I expected disgusting. Like I was saying, Peter Jackson is what I thought this was going to be. I thought this was going to be bad taste.
Yeah.
Or that. And it's not what I got.
I used to get that from when I had kids come up to me at the video store and like, I'll give them Dawn of the Dead. And they're like, there's just not enough in there. It's a lot. And that's a long ass movie. But like those old films, they put a lot into the exposition story. But like the gore was actually not that.
Yeah.
But like, I think this is a time where they had all concept and no money. Whereas now movies are all money, no concept.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, it was an idea that was original and it was super weird because they made it out of nothing. They did half stop motion, half this weird puppet, half of it was a face that moved. And it's just like, there's something about that that's so charming that it is something to look back on fondly kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's a big... You can't rest on those laurels though, I think.
Like, but no, it is a big problem with movies now though. Like, think about it. You could make 20 versions of the Joker movie for the cost of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And we need to get back in the habit of let's take a chance on 20 middle movies rather than one big movie. This movie got itself off the ground because it is an exploitation film.
Yeah.
So it just, there's no reason for it to exist other than the people that make it had a passion and wanted to make money for themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, you know, it's almost like a real estate group when it comes to movies. It's like these people all have to make their money back before it even gets distributed and blah, blah, blah.
So we won't see a Platinum Dunes.
No. Yeah. Blue Harvest or whatever. Moon. Blue.
The thing is like they've done like 3 Texas Chainsaw Massacres, which is 3 too many. Like what can you add to that story? But you can... You could get that money, like, you know, like they cost what, 80 mil each?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fucking make two like better movies.
And there's like the likes of The Void, The Endless, all these like indie horror movies.
Yeah.
Even Monsters, Rian Johnson before he hit Star Wars time. They were fucking incredible movies made for nothing.
I watched one the other day and it was sort of a little bit like Tremors. It was called The Sand, I think it was called. And it's like just these 6 or whatever. It's like almost self-aware. They're stupid frat.
It's Hayden kids. Christian Church from the Spider-Man movie.
And anyway, they wake up after this party to find that there's this weird alien monster thing in the sand, and they can't step on the sand, otherwise they get stuck in it and it eats them. And like, it had good gore. It wasn't amazing, you know, flawless, but it was like good enough to be gross. And the thing was just filmed in this one spot, so they didn't spend heaps of money on sets and stuff. So it just had the concept that worked, and I liked that.
I wish independent horror had a chance to succeed still. Like it was get the occasional, like, Wormwood, the Aussie zombie movie, or, like...
Do you know what I want to watch? Boar?
Yes.
That pig one?
Or Razorback as well. I watched an indie horror movie. I watched an indie horror movie last year, I reckon. I was on Netflix. Called Await Further Instructions.
Mm.
And it was so fucking cheap, but it was so effective and perfect.
Yeah.
But they don't let that thrive anymore. And like, think if something at the level of this was released now. Like, and I don't mean production quality, I mean just creative, like,
film.
Make whatever you make. You'd have to buy it directly from the, like, the film's website kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, same as how people don't make albums anymore.
Yeah, you know, singles.
Because it's, we've ruined the world of media.
I went looking for fan fiction.
Oh.
And I had to use like a registry wipe and like an ad blocker and everything to get rid of just the algorithm that looking up that would have caused my computer.
Jeez.
There was a lot and none of it's nice.
No, I don't think it would be.
If you just watch the second movie, I'll just send you the clip of it where the painter's
the trilogy. So the original is the twins, the conjoined twins are separated.
Yep.
The murderous, cancerous side of it being Belial.
Yep.
And the brother.
And Dwayne.
They can talk to each other through telekinesis, which we didn't touch on. They essentially go and kill all the people responsible for separating them. Yep. The movie ends with them both falling out a high-rise window and splatting on the ground.
Yep.
Pick up part two.
All right. So they're all over the news. And everyone's like, oh my God, freak, twins, blah, 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 and all this. So they are in the hospital and they escape. And this woman and her
Please
daughter...
tell me after the fall you saw, they're just wearing like a head bandage or something.
No, Belial was fine.
Why did they take him to the hospital?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
And he was like strapped down with ropes and stuff, but like... He looked different than the first one now. He was like, had a lot more veins and stuff, and his arms are like a bit more crooked and weird. And it was really like more detail, but didn't really look good. And Dwayne's got like broken arm, broken leg, the head bandage, and black eye. Anyway, so a woman sees them on the news report and is like, oh my God, that's them. That's the brothers, blah, blah, blah. And rocks up in this big van when they are getting out of the hospital. And is like, I was friends with your aunt. Come with me. Come with me. I'll keep you safe. Takes him to this big house and is like being really nice to Dwayne and Belial and saying like, you know, you'll belong here. You just have to fit in and be a part of the family. Takes him up to the attic and she's got like 10 or more other, you know, what are credited in the thing as unique individuals in the, credits that are just like, do you know the movie... What's it called? And the front, is it Holes? The front cover? No, it's not Holes.
Nightbreed?
No, the front cover is like someone looking down and there's all these weird looking grotesque monsters, but like comical looking monsters looking down at you from
That's
the front
Nightbreed,
cover.
That's Nightbreed, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. No. Anyway, but they look like that movie where they've got like one's got a nose, you know, here and here and here.
Okay,
and the other
yeah,
one's
yeah.
got like two eyes here. And one's
so she just basically collects freaks.
So they're yeah. full like, you Unique know, ye old, you know, 1920s looking circus freaks in quotes. Keeps him safe. Dwayne decides like he's going mad and he wants to stitch Belial back onto him. But Belial has fallen in love with one of the other freaks that looks just like him. But it's a girl called Eve. But she's just like a normal girl face with lady hands. Yeah, that.
Freaked.
Yeah.
Yep.
They look like that. Yeah. And this Eve, he falls in love with her and they're holding hands and stuff. They have this disgusting sex scene. And then in the second part, I mean the third movie, suddenly the little girl Belial is pregnant. Because not only do they have genitals, but they have reproductive systems as well that work. Okay. And she has this like whole litter of baby Belials. So they're all these little blobs with like arms and they're pulling them out and they're all joined with an umbilical cord, like anal beads just coming out. Like,
oh, no.
And they put them in this bassinet, but then this guy comes and he kills Eve. And so Belial wants vengeance, but someone steals the babies. And then some guy who's a robotic guy with like 10 arms builds Belial a body. So he's got like this robot body with him in the middle controlling.
That's
these, like,
fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's his android body. Like,
to like get revenge
Dwayne
on.
What's Dwayne doing on this entire thing?
He's like, he's gone mad kind of thing. So he's like in a straight jacket and just sort of like wandering around.
Getting subliminal messages from Belial having the sex scene, you'd be like, oh God.
No, it does happen like that where he's like, oh, like he's feeling like the pleasure of Belial. But then he falls in love with a girl who's the woman's, who's running this like little commune thing. She's really nice to all these people, but has this daughter who doesn't seem like she's got anything wrong with her. But then when Dwayne and her go to have a thing, she's like, oh, I just need you to know I'm pregnant. And he's like, what? She's like, yeah, I've been pregnant for 6 years now. We're just waiting for him to feel ready to come out. And then out of her stomach comes this big, like the alien chest burster, but like really big. And then he pushes her out the window and she dies.
It sounds like a fucking trauma movie.
It, you know what? By the third one, it's very, very trauma. Yeah. The second one, all the unique individuals have like skin colored weird deformities. But the third one, they're all like different colors. So there's one that's like got a head like, you know, when you eat a red skin and you pull it and twist it and it goes like a little spinny with a point? His head's just that. And he's like bright red, and then there's like a little green guy that looks like a mouse. You know and that stuff.
Clive Barker's watching the third one, yeah, just jacking off, like, yeah, this is it.
It's delightfully fucking weird.
I don't like movies.
I enjoyed it completely.
What did David and Margaret give it?
There's a part where a nurse falls on one of the babies and it like pops like a grape. Just yeah.
So what would you guys bargain bin this film with?
I'd do it as a trilogy. I'd buy a
trilogy pack for $5 bucks.
Yeah.
Paulie?
I loved it. And also, why did that prostitute called Casey have all that smiley face shit in her house? That's my big question.
She might have been related to Bill from Forrest Bill Gump. And Ted. Because he's always got the smiley face stuff everywhere too.
Yes, probably.
Extended universe. And Alex Winters is in Freaked as well. So there's your extended Winters universe. Wintersverse.
Came full circle.
I don't want to put this with anyone.
I would bundle this one with a disc that cleans the eye of your DVD laser, because at least you then get something out of it.
Once it finishes, it automatically ejects into the bin.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, with the fireplace one. Yeah.
That displays the fireplace.
Oh, that.
I got to think, my last note says Midnight Cowboy, and I think it's because the music reminds me of that. Everybody's talking about
there, he walks down the street with a basket. Yeah. And it's very
that's
that
what I, yeah, so that's what my Midnight Cowboy thing is. I'm like, oh, no one hears a word I'm saying.
I could not fucking believe going on IMDb and like reading everyone celebrating its Blu-ray release. Oh, how are you going to make this look better?
Yeah, like, honestly, no, I don't know.
What would you give it out of 10? 19. I'll do that again. What would you give this movie out of 19?
Oh, probably I'll give like it
5.
13?
Okay. I'll give it 5 for like nostalgia's. Like it obviously kicked off a bunch of other people's careers.
I would give it 6 just because I had like the pre-boner boner because like I said, the porn acting.
Yeah.
It was like watching SBS back in the day. I was like, it's going to be 6. It's going to be 6.
Confused. Like, it's got all the bits here, but there's no reward.
I reckon, no, in the like, you know, out of 19 DVG scale, it's probably like a 7. But on the Casey, like, shitometer, it's probably like a 12 or a 13.
I could see
it's
that.
Like, it's different scale, yeah.
It just wasn't camp enough. Like, the comedy wasn't deliberate enough, which is why I do prefer Troma to these kind of movies.
But, yeah, it's in the vein of Troma, but it's not hilarious like Troma.
It does not deserve the reverence this film has.
Yeah.
I'm now going to more actively avoid people with basket case t-shirts at gigs than I already did.
Yeah.
No.
This is DVG as we continue Shite Man Month. Don't forget you can contact us. Simply jump on our social media. Just look for Dave's Video Graveyard on WOW FM or send us an email at davesvideograveyard@gmail.com. You can check out what Casey's got going on at KCC Illustration on social media. And of course, check out Paulie's new podcast coming out very shortly.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time.
It's appalling.
Oh, you're going to have to go back and redo all the marketing for it.
No.
Pauling down.
Yes, it's me. The glasses on.
Yeah, the briefcase.
That's a Joel Schumacher film. Sorry to totally derail thing. That's crazy. He makes good stuff sometimes. It's a good film.
I heard something about him that I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah. All right, he's been cancelled. Never mind. This is DVG. Join us next week as we continue Shite Man Month. Don't forget, only a couple weeks to our 100th episode.